Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
The Word of God says, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought in Romans. It says, but let every man think soberly according as God has given to every man the measure of faith. The interesting thing is he did not say a measure of faith. See, if he'd have said a measure of faith, well, then he might have given a measure to Alan and a measure to Penny, a different measure. And it could have been a measure to Susan, a measure to Karen, a measure to Bobby, a measure to me. And the measure he gave me might have been bigger than the measure he gave you. But seeing as how God is not a respecter of persons, he gave to everyone the same measure of faith. Do you know that most people don't realize that it's not a faith issue? Most Christians don't realize that this is not a faith issue. Most Christians are thinking their faith isn't strong enough. They think they have little faith or weak faith or no faith. That's unscriptural. Because we've all been given the measure of faith. Now let me ask you a question. Did he give to every human being who acknowledges God as God Almighty and receives him as the only way to salvation, did he give to every man the same measure of faith?
Yes.
Then that would mean that the same measure of faith that he gave Jesus, he gave you.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Because he was a man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, if he gave Jesus a different measure of faith than what he gave you, then it would be totally unfair for Jesus to have said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. That would have been totally unfair and unreasonable, because Jesus would have been operating in a whole nother level under a whole nother set of circumstances than what we're supposed to be.
That's right. Yeah.
And yet the Word of God says in Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. Well, let me ask you a question. That anointing came through what? By the Spirit. When the Spirit indwelt and filled Jesus Christ, was that a different Spirit than the one you received when you received Christ? No, it's not. And that anointing came into Christ, right? And also came into you when you received Christ.
That's right.
Is it a different Spirit?
No.
It's not a different Spirit. That means you have the same Spirit. Now let me ask you a question. We know that faith is a fruit of the Spirit, is it not? Is it not?
Yes.
How do we know that? Because the Word tells us that in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, faith. Now, if it's a fruit of the Spirit, that means that if you have the Spirit, you've got faith. You've got the God kind of faith. You've got the God kind of faith. And you don't have a different measure. You don't have little faith. You don't have big faith. You just have faith. You have the measure of faith. The measure of faith. The same measure of faith that it took to raise people from the dead is the same faith that's in you.
Amen.
Same kind of faith, not a different kind of faith, and the same measure of faith. Mm-hmm. Trouble is, most Christians don't know this. Most Christians think it's a faith issue. Well, if I just had more faith. If that was the issue, then that would mean that whatever God did in you, he didn't do completely. That would mean that he did not give you enough. If the faith that you have is not sufficient to do the job, then God didn't give you enough. Well, where are you going to get it from? If God didn't give it to you, where are you going to get it from? And seeing as how the Word of God already said, Jesus said, it's finished, it's over. When God finished his work, he sat down. It's all done. And if you did not receive enough faith or the full measure of faith when you were born again, then God didn't give it to you.
Yeah.
As far as he's concerned, he's already given everything he had, because the Word of God says, fear not, little children, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just give you faith, he gave you the kingdom of God and everything in it.
Amen.
He gave you Christ, the treasure of heaven,
yeah.
And everything's in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a faith issue.
That's right.
So it's not a faith issue.
Yeah.
It's not a faith issue. It's not a faith issue. People still think that, but it's still not a faith issue. That's why I'm going to keep saying it, because it's not a faith issue. Let me ask you a question. Where in the Bible does it tell us to grow in faith? Isn't that something? That nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere in the Gospels, nowhere does it tell us to grow in faith or even to build our faith. Now, wouldn't you think that if that was important, that it would be in there? Considering all the prayers that are inspired by the Holy Ghost that are prayed that we find in the epistles, isn't it amazing that we don't ever find one in there about us asking the Father to give us more faith?
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that even in the Word of God, in the Gospels, when the disciples asked Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith, he didn't. Nor did he tell them how to do it. Are you listening?
Yeah.
This is important to you.
Yeah.
Because it'll change the way you think. And it'll change your ability to receive from God that which he's already provided. If you'll get this. Amen. Turn over to Luke. Let's see something here. Is this good already?
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Go to Luke 17. Praise God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Now I'm reading out of the NIV. In chapter 17 of Luke, look at verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord what?
Increase our faith.
Yeah. Lord, give me more faith. Here's what they were actually saying. We don't have enough to do what you're telling us to do. We need more. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Now look what the Lord says. All right, here. Come on over here. I'm going to lay my hands on you and give you more faith.
Yeah.
No. Look at what he says. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree or sycamine tree, depending on your translation, be plucked up and planted in the sea and it'll obey you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you just have faith as a grain of mustard seed, mm-hmm. you can say to this tree, be plucked up and be planted in the sea and it would obey you. Here, see if you can pass this around. That's a mustard seed.
Yeah.
Pass it around. Put it between your thumb and your forefinger. You see how small that is?
Where is it?
You're having trouble just finding it to pass it around.
My glasses on.
Amen. Would you agree that that's hard to see?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you agree to that?
Yeah.
Do you know sometimes it's hard to see your faith? Do you hear what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard for you to see your faith, but that doesn't mean you don't have it. That doesn't mean you don't have it. Now, if you're in Luke, turn back to Matthew, chapter 17.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 17 and verse 20 in Matthew 17. Now, here's the thing. These disciples have tried to do something. They've tried to accomplish a work. It hasn't happened. They're asking them, well, why can't we? And Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, there's that mustard seed again, you can say to this what?
Mountain.
Now he's not even talking about the tree. Now he's talking to the mountain.
Yeah.
You can say to this mountain, move from here, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yet people think it's a faith issue. Now the disciples asked him, said, Lord, increase our faith, and the Lord did not.
Yeah.
Would you not think if the disciples needed it, don't you think the Lord would have at least told them how to get it?
Yeah.
If not done it for them? I mean, he was here to show us. Isn't it amazing or isn't it interesting that he didn't answer them and he didn't give it to them? Instead, he said, if you have faith even as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, get up, be cast into the sea, and it'll obey you.
Mm-hmm.
Some translations say, you might say. You might say, well, why would you think he might say? Well, because there's a lot of things you could say to a mountain. Getting picked up and cast into the sea might be one of them. But that doesn't have to be. There may be many things that you could say to a mountain. Be populated with fruit trees and produce a harvest. Might be something you might say to the mountain. Show us where your ore is so we can take it out and garner the wealth out of it. You might say that. There's a lot of things you could say. In other words, that mountain is representing a problem, something that's standing in your way.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of things you can say to something that's standing in your way, and it may not necessarily be go be plucked up and cast into the sea.
Amen.
You know, when someone's standing in your way, you may not want to have them cast into the sea. You may just want them to move.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say move in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is that the Lord did not consider it a faith issue. Because he didn't answer them when they said, increase our faith. Now, this is really important. Nowhere in the New Testament does it tell us to grow in faith or to grow our faith. We're told to grow in grace.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We're told to grow in wisdom. The Word of God tells us that Jesus grew in grace, but doesn't say he grew in faith. Well, why? Because you've got all the faith you're ever going to get.
Amen.
And you've got all the faith you're ever going to need. You had the faith that was big enough and strong enough to take something that was dead, bring it to life, and have it translated into the kingdom of God and seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ.
Amen.
And that faith, by the way, was a gift of God. The Word of God says in Ephesians, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Now most people, if you're like me, originally took that and said, well, it's salvation that is a gift of God. It's true. Salvation is a gift of God. It's grace. But you can't receive that salvation without the gift that accompanies it, and that's faith.
Mm-hmm.
You can't receive salvation without faith.
That's right. Yeah.
Because we're saved by grace. How?
Through faith.
Through faith. It's the gift of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. See, faith is a gift of God. Do you think God's ever going to give you a gift that is incomplete or not sufficient to do the job?
No.
You know, see, I had to learn these things when I was sick in my body. And I'd be asking and praying God and just hoping, doing things that I hoped was going to be sufficient to build my faith enough so that I could recover myself from what I was going through. And that includes everything from an abscess tooth to this far from death. Amen. But it was faith. Faith in the Word of God. I'll live and not die.
Amen.
And proclaim the works of the Lord. With long life will he satisfy me. I'm not going to die. I don't care what it says. And no, I don't care what you say. I'm not a diabetic. But you are. No, I'm not. But you are. No, I'm not. But the report says you are. I don't care what the report says. God says in Isaiah, who's believed my report? My report says you've been healed. My report says you've been healed.
Amen.
My report says that Jesus took your sickness and carried your pain. Who are you going to believe? The doctor's report, your body's report, or my report?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can believe that. Yes, you can. You've got the faith. It's already there.
Yeah.
But see, it's not a faith issue. You know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
It's a knowledge issue. Do you notice that in Hosea it says, my people perish from lack of
knowledge.
Do you notice it doesn't say my people perish from lack of faith?
Yes.
If it was a faith issue, don't you think God would have told us, my people perish from lack of faith?
Yeah.
Don't you think that God would have said, my people perish from lack of faith? Because see, Christians are dying every day before their time in the prime of life.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Born again, spirit-filled Christians are dying every day prematurely before their time in the prime of life.
Yeah.
Dying of sickness.
Mm.
Sickness is not of God, it's of the devil. God isn't trying to teach us something with sickness. He's not trying to work something out or grow us up with sickness. If that's the case, Jesus and God are at loggerheads. If God puts sickness on people to teach us things, then Jesus was rebuking God every time he healed someone. And going against the will of God. Because if God put sickness on you to teach you a lesson, you know, just some things you got to learn, and I'm putting this on you so you'll learn and grow, and Jesus comes along and heals it, well, they're not in agreement, are they?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And yet he said, I and my Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
We're in agreement all the time.
Yeah.
And then he said, the works that I do, it's not I that do them, but my Father inside me that does it. If that's the case, then God's a schizophrenic. Because he's putting sickness on you in one minute through the devil, and then uses Jesus in another instead to kick the sickness out.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Word of God says that sickness is of the devil.
Yes.
Acts 10:38 says that.
Yes.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil.
Amen.
By the devil. It's the devil. And we have authority over the devil, and we also have authority over the world. The Word of God says, he that's born of God overcomes the world. Is sickness in the world?
Yes.
Then you've overcome sickness.
Amen.
Problem is most Christians don't know that. They think that sickness is overcoming them. They do. Well, we just got to let it run its course. And the doctors will tell you that. They'll prophesy over you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's flu season. You better get a flu shot because you don't want to get the flu. In other words, you're saying if you don't, you will. So they're going to prophesy over you. Well, you know, it runs in your family. You got an 80% chance of getting it. But I'm in the family of God, so that's 100% chance I'm not getting it.
Amen.
And even if it tries to come upon me, I'm going to kick it off me because the Word of God says, number one, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body.
That's right.
It doesn't say receive them, embrace them, tell everybody about them, have a pity party, call the doctor, spend all your money on prescriptions, go to the hospital, go to the emergency room, get everybody together and agree that you're sick
yeah.
and you need help.
Doesn't say that.
It says cast off the troubles of your body.
Amen.
Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, somewhere around the 9th or 10th verse. Banish anxiety from your heart. That's worry.
Yeah, right.
Well, I just don't know what I'm going to do about my finances. Well, if you'd obey the word of God, you'd know exactly what to do with your finances. Number one, give the first fruits to God.
Amen.
Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your substance. Number one. Number two, sow generously.
Amen.
And number three, believe for the harvest.
Yep.
And you'll say, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Well, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Well, it's real simple. Well, I'm in debt. I'm in debt. I don't know what I'm going to do. Stop charging things. You won't be in debt. You'll get right out of debt. All you have to do is just stop charging things. Just stop buying things on credit. Do you know that as long as you do that, you'll be in debt?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be in debt your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you keep charging things on your credit card, you will always be in debt. You'll never get out of debt. Well, I'm just believing God for supernatural debt cancellation. You are. You are. But you're out buying the big screen TV and buying this and buying that and everything else, and you don't have the money to do it. You're telling God what you're going to do and ask him to bless it instead of asking him what to do and having him bless it.
Amen.
That's what goes on. See, that's what happens. This is a knowledge issue. It's a knowledge issue. My people perish for lack of
knowledge.
Anybody know where? That's Hosea 4:6. We knew that, right? Everybody say, yeah, I knew that.
Yep.
Now, the interesting thing is that God said, my people.
Yeah.
He didn't say the sinner. He didn't say the unrighteous and the wicked. He said, my children, my kids, my people perish for what? Doesn't say lack of faith. Doesn't say lack of faith.
No.
Says lack of knowledge. The Word of God says in Romans that every man has been given the measure of faith. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Go back into the New Testament. We like the Word of God because, see, the Word of God tells us the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, you know, most Christians misquote that and have an erroneous or incorrect idea of what Jesus said and what he meant when he said that. Most Christians will say this, well, you know, the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
No, it won't. No, it won't. No. Jesus didn't say the truth will set you free. Because people hear the truth all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't set them free. It's knowing the truth that sets you free.
Mm-hmm.
It's knowledge of the truth
mm-hmm.
that sets you free.
Mm-hmm.
When you know the truth, Jesus said, you'll know the truth. You'll know the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, if you don't know the truth, it won't set you free.
Amen.
Because you don't know the truth. You may have heard the truth, but that doesn't mean you know the truth.
Right.
You may have heard the truth, but that doesn't mean that you've acknowledged that it's the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
And many people don't. You know, many people, as a matter of fact, most Christians in this country do not acknowledge the biblical teaching on prosperity or healing or the infilling of the Holy Ghost or any of that stuff. That's why they don't see it and walk in it. That's why they don't have any success in that area. This is true. I'm telling you from experience because I know what it's like to live in that spot because I used to live in that spot. You see, there was a time when I did not believe in the, quote, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the way the Bible is taught, with evidence of speaking in other tongues. I didn't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, we know that in Mark 16 says, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak in other tongues. Well, I said, I don't believe that. Well, that right there kills any chance because the Word of God says that these signs will follow them that believe, not those that don't.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't believe it, so I never did. Period. Do you know that I never ever began to operate in the things that are in the Word of God until I began to believe them, chose to believe them, and that was a conscious decision. I choose to believe the Word of God. Do you know that when I chose to believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is exactly what Jesus said it would be, this promise is to you all those that are far off, to your children's children. Even though the denomination that I was part of taught, well, you know, that was for the early church. Well, they forgot the part that says for all those that are far off.
Yeah.
And I'm far off. Mm-hmm. That means it must be for me. Well, let me just say that we had a disagreement. And I got the left foot of fellowship. But you know what? I got filled with the Spirit and they didn't.
Amen.
I got power and they didn't.
Amen.
Because the Word of God in Acts says, and ye shall be filled with power from on high when the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
That's right.
Amen.
Power. And so now I began to have power. Power to, number one, first of all, read the Word of God and understand it.
Yeah.
And see things. Power. The power to be able to stand and use the faith that I'd been already been given, because now I had the power to gain and retain knowledge, revelation knowledge of the things of God.
Amen.
Now I had the power to see things I never could see before in the Word. Why? Because it's the Spirit that reveals them to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
It's the Spirit of God. Don't you receive the Spirit when you're born again? Absolutely, positively. You do. You're sealed with the Spirit of promise. But the Bible goes on to talk about the infilling of the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit coming upon. Amen. Yeah. The promise of the Father. And it's a separate experience, and all you have to do is read Acts to find out about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find out that there were many, many times where people were born again, but they received the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Ghost after. Mm-hmm. Well, if it was the same experience, why wouldn't it happen? All at the same time. But you see, the point is we choose to believe the Word of God. Knowledge. It's knowing the truth. It's the same thing with divine healing. Do you know, I never knew whether it was the will of God for me to be healed until I began to see in the Word of God that it is God's Word for me to be healed. Why? Because Jesus took my sickness and carried my pain. Read Peter 2:24. Read Isaiah. Read Matthew. Amen. Himself took our sicknesses and bare our diseases that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet. Read Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes,
we were
healed. When were we healed? 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross and took your sickness and pain with him.
Amen.
But I didn't know that. I said I didn't know that. I'm thinking that God's going to do something. So I'm always waiting for God to do it. If that's where you're thinking, see, you're not thinking right. You're not thinking according to the Word. God honors his Word.
Amen.
Yes.
He doesn't honor your opinion. He honors his Word.
Amen.
Amen. And if he says you were healed, then what you need to do is start saying I'm healed.
Amen.
Get it in you.
Amen.
It says, he, though he was rich, was made poor for our sakes, that through his poverty you might be made rich.
Amen.
The Word of God says, above all things, I want you to prosper.
Hallelujah.
And be in health.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if it's God's will for me. You know, God blesses some people with prosperity and other people, well, you know, he just keeps us humble. Well, then God's a respecter of persons.
Yeah.
He's showing favorites.
That's right.
I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that it's a whole lot better to have than not to have.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's a whole lot better to have more than enough than not enough.
Amen.
Think about it from this case. If you're a parent, do you want your children to not have enough or have more than enough?
More than enough.
Well, I'm just going to teach my kids something. I'm just going to keep them humble, and every dollar they earn, I'm going to take it from them. And we're going to let them have holes in their shoes, wonder where their car payment's going to come from, whether that they're going to be able to pay their light bill. Is that the kind of parent you would be?
No.
Well, if you be an evil, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to go ahead and make sure you've got everything you need?
Amen.
You see, but stinking thinking will get you to believe in things that are not true, and then that will frustrate what's called the grace of God.
Yeah.
It'll frustrate the grace of God. See, it's a knowledge issue. It's not a faith issue. It's a knowledge issue. It's not a faith issue. Are you in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10? King James says this, and you're complete in him. I like the Amplified. It says, you receive all the fullness of Christ. Amen. Being complete in him. Being complete. Well, now you see, if you didn't receive enough faith, when you receive Christ, then you're not complete, are you?
Yeah.
That must mean that when you receive Christ and you receive the measure of faith, it was all the faith you ever were going to need.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And you see, it's the enemy that will go ahead and tell you and say, well, no, you know, you got weak faith, you got little faith. As a matter of fact, and I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to say it boldly, Because, you see, I've taught this in the past and found out that it's not correct. I found out I was wrong to say this because it destroys people's faith and confuses them. But you hear in faith circles being taught weak faith, little faith, great faith, mountain moving faith. And then they'll tell you how to go from little faith to mountain moving faith. And I used to teach that.
Yep.
Amen. But that's not right. Because that's not scriptural. Well, didn't Jesus say to the disciples, O ye of little faith? He sure did. But you have to understand something. They weren't born again.
That's right.
See, they were operating in human faith. They didn't have the Spirit of God in them. They were operating in human faith. Human faith is based on what you see, what you can taste, what you can smell, what you can feel, what you can hear.
Yeah.
Amen.
Human faith, based on the senses. It's sense knowledge. They're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're seeing Him doing miracles, and they still can't believe. Well, why? Because faith is a fruit of the Spirit, and they didn't have the Spirit of God. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. They were operating in human faith. But you see, when you receive Christ, you receive the faith of God.
Amen.
All the faith you're ever going to need. Well, doesn't the Word of God say in Romans, well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? It sure does, but read it in context. It's talking about salvation. You hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. But once you receive Christ, you've received the faith. Now it becomes a knowledge issue. Now it becomes learning the Word of God, what's in the Word of God, so you can have knowledge of your benefits so you can access them by faith.
Amen.
But it's not a matter of faith.
Yeah.
How do I know? Because Jesus said, if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved. And he's talking to unbelievers. He's talking to people that don't have faith. They're not born again yet. It's not a faith issue. It's a knowledge issue. I had this discount card for years to one of these local drugstores for years. And all of the time that I had that, I was able to receive a 10% discount on any health or beauty aid. But the trouble was, I did not know that I had that discount with that card. It was part of my HMO benefits. They gave me that card. I could receive 10% off. Now, I shopped at this place for years and never once used it because I didn't know. I had no idea until the cashier one day said to me, do you have your HMO card? And I said, well, yeah. Well, yeah, why? And then she told me, because you get a 10% discount off of these items if you use your card. Well, I never knew that. Well, I gave her the card, and guess what I got? 10% off. Now listen, I'd been shopping at this place for years and never taken advantage of the benefits that I had there because I didn't know it. I didn't know how to use it. I didn't know what to do. And so I never accessed the benefits. And it was only when I knew it that I was able to use it properly and get the benefit. And it's the same thing with faith. And I remember just trying to build up my faith. Oh, if I can just pray long enough, I'll have the faith to be able to do this. I'll have the faith to receive my healing if I can just pray long enough. Or if I can just confess the word one more time. Or if I just read a little bit more. If I just repent of these sins again. Because maybe God didn't hear me the first time. If I could just get my lawyer to look at my contract of repentance to make sure that I've hit everything and made sure I got it right so I didn't miss anything, because, you know, got to get it right. No, God looks at the heart. He knows whether or not you're sincere or not. It's not the words that He's looking at. He's looking at the heart. And you may not speak very good English, but He knows what you're saying if it's coming out of your heart.
Amen.
Amen. But here I am trying to get myself into a place where my faith is strong enough to be able to receive, because you see, I've been taught I might have little faith or weak faith, but it takes strong faith or mountain-moving faith for this. My faith must not be strong enough yet. I better build my faith. I better build my faith. Better build my faith. We're never told to build our faith. We're told to build ourselves up. Build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But it doesn't tell us to build our faith. What does that mean, build yourself up? Grow in grace. Grow in wisdom. Doesn't the Word of God say wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom? Now, you know, if we know that anything that is not of faith is sin, and it's impossible to please God without faith, and we know that we're told that the just shall live by faith, and we know that we're told that we walk by faith and not by sight, we know that we're saved by grace through faith, 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 it seems to me like God should have said, faith is the principal thing, therefore get faith.
Amen.
Because it's faith, faith, faith. But He didn't. What did he say? He said wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding.
Yeah.
Well, why? Because without wisdom of who God is, what God has done, who you are in him, and what he's done in you and for you already, you will never access what God has given you through the faith that you have already in you.
Amen.
Now, if you don't believe that, turn to the book of Philemon. That's in the New Testament. It's a little book. Go to Titus and go forward.
This is good.
Thank you.
Listen to it in the King James. Starting with verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and what? And faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, and that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. I pray that the communication of your faith, the communication of your faith may become effectual by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ. That the communication of your faith may become effective. See, the problem, the reason why so many Christians' faith is not effective is because they don't acknowledge every good thing that's in them in Christ. They have no idea. They don't have a clue what's in them. They're trying to get more faith. They're like the disciples. Now, how many of you other than me have ever asked the Lord to strengthen your faith or give you more faith? Now, everybody should be shaking your head. Amen. We all did it. Amen. We saw the disciples do it. Lord, give me more faith. Well, praise God. It's in the Bible. They did it. I might as well, too. You know, he never did. As a matter of fact, if you read that whole passage, you'll find out, he tells them a parable about how faith works. Though most people have used that, even though it's good, it's applicable, but they've actually used it out of context and incorrectly to go ahead and describe how we as servants are supposed to operate. But it's actually talking about faith. Otherwise, Jesus was like one of those people, you know, who talk and never stop, and they're just from one subject to the next, and you have no idea where they are. They're talking about something, then they'll go on to something else, and you think they're still talking about this over there, and you're going like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, he went on and told a parable about this servant. He says, which one of you having a servant, even though he's been out there working all day, when he comes in, will have him go ahead and fix himself a meal first and do what he's going to do? Won't you rather have him fix you the meal before he does anything for himself? He just got through talking about faith. He said, listen, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the sycamine tree, be plucked up and be cast into the ocean, and it'll obey you. Now, which one of you having a servant, even though he's out there working in the field all day, when he comes in, we'll go ahead and say to the servant, go ahead, sit yourself down, have a meal, wait on yourself, and then wait on me. And Jesus said, I don't think so. He said, will you not rather tell him, fix me my meal, do your work for me, then you go ahead and do what you have to do? Now, you see, that parable makes absolutely no sense in that context, in that position, if it's not talking about faith as the servant, about how faith works. See, Jesus went on to explain how faith works. Faith is something that we're supposed to use for our benefit. It's our servant. It does what we tell it to do. Read it in Luke chapter 17, starts with verse 5, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, I've heard that parable taught, you know, and it's usually talking about how we as servants. But if you read it in context, it's talking about faith, and faith is the servant. Amen. But it says, the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. How does your faith become effective? By acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ. You see, if you don't acknowledge that I have been healed.
Yes.
I have the life of God. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, if you're a Christian and you're sick, and you weren't sick before you were a Christian, you're not having life more abundantly.
That's right.
Amen.
If you're a Christian and you're sick and unable to deal with that, and the world is sick, and Jesus said, I came that you might have life more abundantly. Right. Are you having it more abundantly than that person out there that's healed and healthy, strong and free?
No.
No, you're not. Mm-hmm. Well, something's wrong. Why? I don't know if it's God's will or not. What do I got to do? Acknowledge it. Yeah. Acknowledge what Peter 2:24 says. With his stripes, you were healed. If you were, then you must be. If you are, why are you talking like you're not? Amen. It's the same thing with prosperity. By acknowledging in you that God has already made you rich. That's why you don't have to seek after riches or wealth. You don't have to. God's already made you rich. All you got to do is draw out of your heavenly account.
Amen.
If you're not drawing out of your account, it's not God's fault that you're lacking. It's your fault. You're not taking out of your heavenly account. How? By faith. Because he's already given it to you. It says so. Amen. He's made you heirs of Christ.
Amen.
Well, what does Christ own?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Amen.
Everything.
Praise God.
Everything. If you're lacking, don't blame God. I mean, if you've got needs, don't blame God if they're not being met. He said, I supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, if you're not taking it out of your spiritual account, it's your problem, not God's. He gave it to us. Amen.
Amen.
But you see, if you don't acknowledge that, you won't know that. Same thing with righteousness. I had spent some time with a particular denomination back when I was a real young Christian. Ooh, boy, was that a mistake. Whew. Just slightly to the left of Amish. And they were slightly a little bit more liberal than Amish. In other words, they dressed the same way as Amish, talked the same way, did just about everything, but they could drive cars and have electricity. Oh, man, was that something. My Lord. And so here I was, I'm trying to get myself sanctified, see, because they believed in trying to get yourself sanctified, you know, and sanctified was a work in progress. Well, the Word of God says He is our justification. He is our sanctification.
Yeah.
It talks about the righteousness. He is our righteousness. He who knew no sin was made to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, the Word of God says.
Yeah.
So you see, I've been made righteous. Now, that doesn't mean I have to act righteous. But you know, I made a human being. I could get down on my four legs and bark like a dog and eat dog food and sleep out in the dog house.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make me a dog. I'm still a human being, though I could act like a dog.
Right.
Amen. I could.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know any better. So I spent this period of time just beat up. Man, I just got to get myself righteous. I mean, I got to get myself sanctified. Well, I didn't know that I was already righteous.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've been made righteous because God says I've been made righteous. He made me righteous.
Mm-hmm.
He made me that way. The new creation is righteous. Not the old one, but the new creation, the new birth. I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God. I'll tell you, the first time I said that, I wanted to make sure I was in a room full of people. So that if God did strike down somebody, He might have missed me and hit them.
Yeah.
I'm the righteousness of God. But I, you see, I am. But I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I said, I didn't know that. I had to acknowledge it before it became effective in me, before the devil could stop using that against me. That won't work. They're not going to get healed when you lay hands on them because you sinned. God's not going to honor that. And you know what God says? God says, you know, my arm isn't too short that I can't reach you, and my ear that's so deaf that I can't heal you, but your sins have separated you from me. You know it says that. Yeah, it does, but that's old covenant. That was before I was born again. He's my Father now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ.
Amen.
Just like He said.
Amen.
He delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. Raised me up together with Christ and made me to sit in heavenly places in Him. And where's Christ? Seated at the right hand of the Father. And that's where I'm
Amen.
Sitting. In that place of authority in Him.
Amen.
It's not through something I did. It's what Jesus did.
Amen.
He did it for me and He did it for you. And if
Amen.
You don't know that, you'll never be able to walk in that, and the devil will use that against you and keep you from being able to walk in the faith that you have and receive the things God has for you, because he'll convince you that you're not worthy.
Amen.
That's how he dealt with me. See, now you got to pray more. You haven't prayed enough, and you didn't confess it enough, and you remember how you those impure thoughts, man, you are just one dirty sinner. You see, and you hear these people preaching, you know, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, I'm not. I was a sinner, but I was saved by grace, and now I'm the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
You can be a sinner if you like, but I'm not. The communication of your faith may become effectual. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ. Now, just like that little card I had. Until I learned that I had, that part of my benefits with that HMO included a 10% discount. Until I learned that, I didn't put it to use. But after I did, I put it to use every time I went in there. Because I saved 10%.
That's right.
Amen. 10 cents on every dollar.
Mm-hmm.
$1 on every 10. $10 on every 100. See, we're talking about faith. And there's a reason why we're talking about faith. The things that we're moving into is going to require everybody to know who they are. In Christ, and to know that the God's not holding anything back.
Yeah.
No, he's not. Luke 17. Now we'll see how smart you are. We'll see how well you read. I'm going to demonstrate to you how deeply ingrained traditional, non-denominational thinking is. Well, you see, there's the non-denominational charismatic word of faith circles, Pentecostal circles, that have become very denominational. And I'm going to show you how denominational and traditional that thinking is. Are you ready? Luke 17, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Look down to verse 7. It says, which of you having a servant plowing or pleading cattle will say to him by and by? Here's the parable I was talking about. This doesn't make sense unless you read it in context. It's talking about faith. Amen? Just wanted to show you that. But here we go. Verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Everybody say, increase our faith.
Increase.
Yeah, there we go. And the Lord said back, okay.
No,
he says, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say, or you can say to this sycamine or mulberry tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you a question. What did Jesus say that your faith would do? If you had faith of a mustard seed, what did it say it would do?
Move a mountain.
Right. You say move a mountain. We know that from Matthew 17. What do you say?
Move a tree.
What do you say?
Accomplish something, you know.
It'll accomplish something. Amen. Amen. So here we go. I had to have the Holy Ghost stop me. And I'll tell you what, the only other thing he could have done would be to say it audibly to me. That's how strong it was. Because I wasn't even thinking in this vein. You know, it'd be kind of like you just kind of sitting there and doing a math problem. Let's see, 2 plus 2 is 4 and 4 plus 4 is... And going along like that, and suddenly... out comes, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain. Imagine that happening to you. Mm-hmm. Your head just suddenly goes, boom, off. That's what happened to me, just like that. And it was the first time I saw the truth of this scripture. Now, I've been teaching faith and preaching faith for, I don't know, what, 2 decades or more. This is the first time I saw the truth of this. This verse does not say that if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could move that mountain or that tree. But that's what you think it says. And that's what you've been taught it says. But that's not what it says. If you read it carefully, it says if you had faith of a grain of mustard seed, you would what?
So,
you would say. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would what?
You would say.
Doesn't say anything about moving the tree. It says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, what will you do?
Say.
You'll say. Now, you see, if you're like me, for all those years, I focused on the mountain, not on the saying. Do you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most Christians do when they come across a problem. They focus on trying to move the problem instead of doing the simple thing that Jesus said you would do.
Say.
And that's just simply say. The faith is there. All you have to do is say. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say. Doesn't say you can move the mountain. Says you can say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and it'll obey you. You know you can't move mountains. Why? Because you can't do it. Ever try? But you can tell it to move and it'll move. Now there's a big difference between trying to do the impossible and just doing what Jesus told us to do, which will bring forth the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a whole lot easier to say to the mountain, move, than to go over and try to move it. It's a lot easier to just tell the disease to get off your body than to try to get it off your body.
Mm.
I've learned that. Jesus never told you to move the mountain, but he never did. You see, it's not mountain moving faith. It's saying faith.
Yeah, that's right.
It's speaking faith. Jesus said, if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'll say, and it'll obey you. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this problem, whatever you want it to do, and it'll obey you. Jesus said, if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be plucked up and be cast into the sea, and it'll obey you. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the thing that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. He didn't say try to move the mountain. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been trying to move mountains for years.
Yes.
It's a whole lot easier when you just get it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That all we have to do is say. Now, I'll tell you what. I have prayed to God about mountains for years. Here's a typical prayer. I thank you, Father God, that I'm healed. I claim my healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, now that prayer is all well and good. It's a prayer of thanksgiving, provided you've spoken to the problem. But if you haven't, it won't do you any good. Because you're talking to God about the problem instead of talking to the problem about God. And Jesus said, don't talk to God about the problem. Don't talk to God about the disease. Talk to the disease about God.
Amen.
Jesus said, behold, I give you all authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Sickness and disease, death and poverty is a power of the enemy at work in operation in you.
Yeah.
And he said, I give you authority over it. The Word of God says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Let me tell you something. When somebody gives you the keys to the kingdom, now you've got some authority, and now you have to deal with it. And to go back to them and say, go ahead and do it. Say, I don't have the key. You've got the key. I gave it to you.
Amen.
You do it.
Amen.
You do it. Do what I told you to do. What's that? Speak
Amen.
To the mountain.
Amen.
Speak to the problem.
Amen.
Tell it what to do. Now listen, I'm telling you this because I've seen it work. And you know, it's only just recently that the Lord spoke. He just had to get it right with me, see, because I've had miracles in my life take place through the grace of God by actually doing what the Word said, but not realizing that I was actually doing what the Word said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then failures that I can look back on because I didn't do what the Word said.
Yeah.
I told you about the situation with the individual who was terminal. The doctors gave her 30 days to live in the hospital. Complete kidney failure, complete liver failure, acute lymphoplastic leukemia. Sent her home to die. But I went in and spoke to that disease and told it to get off her.
Yeah.
Said, get off her in the name of Jesus. I cursed that disease and commanded it to die and spoke life into that body. 6 weeks later, she was off dialysis. Her liver had recovered.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, you see, I've done it to myself. Still do. Command it. Command my body to get in line with the Word of God. Well, you see, I acknowledge every good thing that's in me, that's in Christ. But you see, I'll tell you what, I used to sweat over praying for the sick because I'm going to use every ounce of will I have to get that disease out of there. But I don't have to do anything.
Nope.
And neither do you.
Amen.
All you have to do is speak to it and realize that it's not a faith issue. It's not a faith issue.
Amen.
It's not a faith issue. You've got more than enough faith. You don't have to bring people here. The Word of God works. I want you to know we don't allow sickness in our house. We have people that come in here feeling weak and just as they sit here, get stronger.
Yeah. Yep.
And feel better. Because we don't allow sickness in our house.
Amen.
Amen. Look at Satnam Singh. He comes over here. Why? Because he always feels better.
Feels better?
Yep.
Feels better when he comes over here. Come over here, sit in that chair, and you're so weak. And by the time he's leaving, he's strong again.
Yeah, amen.
Why? Because we don't allow sickness in our house.
That's right.
And see, I say that. We don't allow sickness in our house. Mm-hmm. Sickness is not welcome here.
Amen.
But I say it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, now that is just assuming that you have faith of a grain of mustard seed. But we all know you don't.
We have.
You've got the measure of faith, Sister Delphine.
Praise the Lord.
You've got the measure of faith. You've got the same measure that Jesus had when he walked the earth. Not a different measure. The same measure.
Amen.
The same measure.
Amen.
The same measure.
Amen.
The same. You got the same Holy Ghost. If the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, then he that raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body by his spirit.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. The same one. You've got the life of God in you. He that has the Son hath life.
Yeah.
The God kind of life.
Yeah.
The God kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
In you.
Yeah. Yeah.
In you. The God kind of life.
Yeah.
In you.
Yes,
in you.
Right.
Whoever drinks of the water I give him shall never thirst, but it shall become in him a well of water springing up until eternal life. The God kind of life.
Yep. Amen.
The God kind of life, that's healthy.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's strong.
Amen.
That's blessed.
Amen.
That's delivered.
Yeah.
That's redeemed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
That's prosperous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 But you see, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say. Doesn't say you would move the mountain.
No.
Says you would say.
Mm-hmm. Say.
If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would what?
Say.
Mm-hmm. To what? To God.
No.
Talk to God about the mountain. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just proclaim that this mountain is going to be moved. I thank you for moving this mountain, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for taking care of this problem. No! That's not what Jesus said to do. He said, speak to the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Jesus speak to the tree?
Yes.
Yeah, did he speak to God about the tree? No, Father God, I came over here and there's no fruit on this tree and this is looking really bad for me, and I ask you in my name to go ahead and just and kill this tree.
No.
No, he spoke to the tree, and the disciples kind of looked at each other and went, he's speaking to the tree. What's up with that? He's speaking to trees. First he speaks to the wind and it obeys him.
Yeah.
And now he's speaking to trees. And it looks like it's obeying them too. You've heard me talk about the miracles that I've experienced with the weather. And I speak to it. If I don't like it, I just tell it. I don't like it. I don't like what you're doing. Stop it. In the name of Jesus. And does it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, it will. You see, that's why it's important for you to get that knowledge of the Word of God in you.
Amen.
So that you can do it. I know that Sister Delphine just recently talked to somebody who they'd given him up to die. But you spoke. He spoke the word.
Amen.
Spoke the word over him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Spoke.
Amen.
Spoke to the problem.
Yeah.
Amen.
The man lived. Went home. He's home now.
He's home.
Mr. Nick Pond, right?
Yes.
Yeah, doing fine.
Yeah.
Amen. When was the last time you spoke to your checkbook? I don't mean going, I don't even want to look at you anymore.
No.
No, speak to your checkbook. When was the last time you spoke to your savings account and told it to increase? Do you know it will? It will. Jesus said, whosoever shall say, even unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt, but shall believe that the thing that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. If you don't doubt in your heart, but will believe. When was the last time you talked to your paycheck, told it to increase? I never did. That's why it isn't. That's why it's not.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When was the last time you talked to your heat bill, told it not to go over a certain amount?
Mm-hmm.
You see, a thing that sounds funny, but Jesus talked to trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus talked to winds.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you talked to your car and told it to work in the name of Jesus and work perfectly?
Amen. Amen.
When was the last time you talked to your driveway and said in the name of Jesus, you put a new car in that driveway?
Yes.
Amen.
Keep the snow up.
Now, you see, it sounds funny, but my wife and I did that.
Praise the Lord.
We have a new car sitting out there that God supernaturally added to us by doing it, by speaking to it. By speaking to it.
Amen.
Sounds funny. But you see, you either believe the Word of God or you don't believe the Word of God. And Jesus never told you to move the mountain.
That's right.
Amen.
He said, speak to the mountain and it'll move. Your job is not to move the mountain. That's not your job. Your job is a simple one. Just speak to it.
Just
say it. It's a simple one. That's why the Spirit of God, almost like he kicked me in the head. And out of my spirit loud came, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it would obey you. Never saw that I didn't have to move the mountain. Never saw that I didn't have to put my focus on the mountain. Never saw that I didn't have to try to use my faith to move the mountain. Never saw that I didn't have to try to use my faith to move the mountain. I never saw that I didn't have to use my faith to move the mountain. I had to use my faith to speak to the mountain.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to speak to the mountain than it is to move it.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, just speak to it. It'll move. You speak, it'll move. It will obey you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say, and then after you've spoken to it, it'll give you the opportunity to move it.
Mm-hmm.
God will provide you with a supernatural, mega gigantic mover that you can get under it. And if you've got the right leverage on it, you know, and a couple guys that back you up, you can get that thing into the sea. Mm-hmm. No, he just said speak to it.
Speak to it.
And it'll obey you.
Amen.
And it'll obey you. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see people out in the street and they're sick, or when you meet people in your job, don't ever let it be a faith issue with you again, because it's not. It's not a measure of little faith or great faith. You've got the faith. You've got it.
Amen.
If you didn't, then you're not complete in him.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not a matter of little faith or great faith or strong faith or mountain-moving faith. You've got the faith. We're told to use our faith, exercise our faith. It doesn't say in the New Testament for us to build our faith. You find me in the Word of God where it says for us to go ahead and grow your faith, build your faith, increase your faith. And even when the disciples asked and said, Lord, increase our faith, he didn't say, oh yeah, okay, here's how you do it. And if it was as important as that, he would have told us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he didn't. No, instead he said, what? Use it. Then he told us exactly how. In Luke 17:6, he told us in Matthew 17:20. He told us in Mark 11:23 and 24, whosoever shall what? Say. What do they do?
Say.
Even to what? Even to this mountain, this impossible situation, this thing that looks like there's no hope and there's no way it's going to move, this thing, there's just no way, no way. There's no way, even to this mountain. You can speak even to the mountain, even to the mountain, even to that thing that looks impossible. You can speak to it. And don't doubt in your heart. Just believe in your heart, not in your head, but in your heart.
Yeah.
Believe in your heart. And it's easy to believe in your heart because you've got the faith of God in your heart. So it's easy to believe in your heart. Doesn't matter what your head says. Don't let your head tell you you don't believe that. You do. It's in your heart because you're speaking it. Because you see, if you'll speak it, you've got the faith of a mustard seed because you're speaking it, because Jesus said, if you have the faith, you'll speak.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Just speak to it and believe in his heart that the thing that you say will come to pass. Will come to pass. Will come to pass. You'll have whatever you say. So while you're out there in your job, while you're out there in your everyday life, see, we're sent out. We're not just to come here and just sit around and bring glory to God. We're just going to have a pep rally. We're being trained up for a reason.
Amen.
To go out, right? You've got the life of God in you. In John chapter 4, where it talks about eternal life, springing up, a well springing up into eternal life. A well is for you to drink out of.
Yeah.
But in John chapter 7, it talks about rivers of living water, rivers of life flowing out of you.
Amen.
The reason why those rivers are flowing out is not for you. It's so that you can touch humanity.
Amen.
With what God has placed inside of you.
Yeah.
He's placed it inside of you. And all you need to do is release it. How? With your words.
Yeah.
Amen.
With your words.
Amen.
But just releasing the life of God with your words. Because whoever says and shall not doubt, but shall believe in his heart that the thing that he says, the thing that he says, the thing that he says, the thing that he says,
yes,
will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. See, words are important. The Word of God says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Words. Life and death are in our words.
Amen.
They're in our words. And if you don't believe it, how creative your words are. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Word of God says that God made man in his image and in his likeness. God made man just like he is. Made us to be just like he is. We're just like him. Now, that doesn't make us God, but we're like him. Just like my father and mother, I'm just like them. I have the same characteristics of a human being. They were human beings. And so I'm born a human being. Well, God made man. God, who is a spirit and a creative being, he created everything with his words. That's how God created everything, with his words. The Word of God says so. In Hebrews 11, says, by faith do we understand that God created the worlds. He framed the worlds by the Word of God.
Yes.
With his word. Starting with Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, and God said, and nothing happened until he said something. God spoke. He spoke words. And then he said, let's make man. He said, God said, let's make man in our own image, in our own likeness. And he created man by saying it. Created man just like him. That means that we have the same ability to do things and create things the way he does. And how do we do it?
By saying it.
With words. And that's what separates us from the animals, by the way. Animals don't speak words.
Right. No.
Good thing. Because man would be in big trouble. Amen. Amen. Is this good?
Amen.
You learned some things tonight.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.